What is going on, Rams Nation, and welcome to another episode of the Rams Wire Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron DeSilva. You can follow me on Twitter at Kim DeSilva, and you can follow the Rams Wire on Twitter at the Rams Wire. We got a lot to catch up on, recapping last week's win over the Vikings, previewing the upcoming game against the Seahawks, taking a look at some players who were injured, some who could return, the play of Jared Goff, and whether he can be an MVP candidate this season. Certainly looks like one. And then the play of the offensive line, the return of Aqib Talib eventually, and kind of just taking a look at the roster as a whole and kind of where the Rams stand right now as the best team in the league. So first we'll go back to last week's win over the Vikings. The Rams won that game not exactly as easily as some thought. They won 38-31. It could have been a much larger victory if not for a missed 28-yarder by Sam Ficken. The young kicker has kind of really struggled with the Rams both this season and at the end of last season when he took over for Greg Zuerlein. So not exactly a great situation there with him, kind of waiting for Greg Zuerlein to get back. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But Ficken has really not been good for the Rams. He's missed 2 out of 3 kicks. And just hasn't been consistent in the field goal game. But there were a lot of good things to take away from that win. Jared Goff obviously had a huge game, 465 yards, 5 touchdowns. He had 4 of those in the first half. Nearly had number 6 to Cooper Kupp. It just hit off of his hands in the end zone towards the end of the game. So that could have been a record-setting game for him. But regardless, it was a phenomenal effort from him. He had 33 pass attempts with the perfect passer rating. And looking at Pro Football Reference, that's the most pass attempts by any quarterback with the perfect passer rating. So really just a phenomenal game by him. He continues to have a really strong season. Last week in week 3, I thought that was his best game of his career possibly. And he went out and outdid himself against still a good Vikings defense, even though they didn't have Everson Griffin. It's still a really strong secondary with Harrison Smith, Xavier Rhodes, Trey Waynes, Danielle Hunter on the defensive line, Eric Kendricks, Anthony Barr. So really playmakers at all 3 levels for the Vikings, and Goff went out there and absolutely shredded them. Completed 29 out of 36 passes, just looked sharp at every throw that he made. You had a feeling that it was going to be completed. All 5 of his touchdown passes came from 10 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. So just everything about that game against the Vikings was extremely, extremely good for Goff. And he's really turned himself around after a shaky rookie season under Jeff Fisher. Last season, he was really good, made the Pro Bowl. And this season, he's on track to possibly be an MVP candidate. So great stuff from him. And it's really fun to watch him develop in Sean McVay's system. People want to call him a system quarterback. That's been the talk of the past couple weeks. McVay was asked about that a couple times. And he really took offense to it. Nothing about Goff's game right now suggests that he's a system quarterback. He's making deep throws. He's throwing guys open, throwing with anticipation rather than just waiting for them to come open based on McVay's scheme. So everything that he's doing right now is franchise quarterback type stuff. He's obviously not on the level of Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and guys like that, but I would put him up against Matt Ryan any day, Matthew Stafford, Andy Dalton. Really those second tier of quarterbacks, and he's arguably one of the better of that group. So really great progress from him. Again, 465 yards, 5 touchdowns against the Vikings for a career day for him. And kind of lost in the mix from that game was the performance of Todd Gurley. He still hasn't had that Todd Gurley-esque game that we've been waiting for where he breaks out for 250 yards and 3 touchdowns like he almost did last season, but he still had 83 yards on the ground, only 17 attempts, added another 73 yards as a receiver, caught 4 passes and a touchdown. His route running you saw in the touchdown against Anthony Barr beat him on kind of a seam route out of the backfield. So really it was kind of lost in the shuffle of Jared Goff's big game, but Gurley was really effective against, again, a strong Vikings defense. When your longest carry is only 10 yards and you're still putting up 83 yards on 17 attempts, that means you're consistently gaining 5, 6, 7 yards with those carries. So good to see him really picking up where he left off last season, and no reason really to be worried about him at all. With that contract coming, he's still is working as hard as he ever does, and just a really strong, dynamic player for the Rams, and someone that you don't have to worry about him laying an egg in any given week. He's going to give you a minimum of 75, 80 yards total. Usually that's over 100 yards on a weekly basis almost. Every now and then he'll have a little bit of a down game, but even his worst games are really just solid performances. So he's picking up right where he left off last season. And speaking of that, Aaron Donald finally broke through, got his first 2 sacks of the season. He didn't have a single one in the first 3 weeks, but he broke out against the Vikings. Really a shaky offensive line. He beat Tom Compton a couple times at the left guard position. He had 2 sacks, 4 quarterback hits, 13 pressures, which, believe it or not, is a career high. That's an astronomical number, and he's once again established himself as arguably the best interior defender and possibly the best defender overall in the NFL. Dominican Sue chipped in with a sack of his own, and strangely enough, both of his sacks this season have come from that kind of wide nine defensive end position where he's split out outside the shoulder of the tackle and just does a good job bending the edge and getting to the quarterback from that position. What wasn't so good from the game was the pressure off of the edge from guys like Samson Ebukam, Matt Longacre, Dominique Easley obviously suffered that and he didn't play. But they just didn't get much pressure off the edge. It's difficult to kind of pin exactly where the blame falls at this position, but the Rams just simply aren't getting enough pressure from that outside linebacker position. Ebukam has been really inconsistent this season. He needs to kind of find that groove and be that weak side edge rusher that the Rams really need. That kind of speed guy that can bend the edge and kind of force the quarterback up in the pocket into the laps of Donald and Sue on the interior, but they just haven't gotten enough of that. Hopefully, John Franklin Myers can be a guy who kind of fixes that issue. He had that game-clinching strip sack of Cousins at the end, really wrapped up the game for the Rams, but he's someone who can, if he can really hone his skills as an edge rusher. He's a lot of people want to call him an interior defender, kind of like Aaron Donald and Sue, but the Rams haven't treated him that way this season. He's primarily been an edge rusher, rushing from that outside linebacker position, and he's done a good job there. That sack on Thursday night was huge. The Vikings really had a chance to come back after Ficken missed that field goal. They were only down 7. Had a chance to drive down the field, tie it up, and possibly take it into overtime, but Franklin Myers made a great play, rushing from that weak side, got his hand on the football, and the Rams recovered. And then from there, Todd Gurley had a first down run, capped it off, and the rest is history. So Rams are 4-0. Just one other kind of negative from that game was really the play of Sam Shields and Marcus Peters. Really gutsy performance by Peters to even go out there after that groin injury that he suffered, or calf injury, excuse me. But he didn't look like himself. Sam Shields kind of struggled a little bit with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. Laquon Treadwell even gave him a little bit of trouble on that left side of the offensive formation. Just not his best game ever. He did have a huge pass breakup down the sideline against Stephon Diggs. He got beat off the line, really played catch up all the way down the field to almost the 5, 10 yard line, and broke up the pass right in front of LaMarcus Joyner. So, a positive play there, but really not the best showing from the veteran cornerback. But moving on from that game, we'll look ahead to Week 5 a little bit later. But let's just talk a little bit about the play of Jared Goff right now. Really, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Whether that holds up throughout the rest of the season, I don't really know. It looks like he could have one of those really 4,000, 5,000 yard seasons 35 touchdowns, fewer than 10 interceptions. He's done a great job of protecting the football while also throwing it downfield, which is a little bit of a change from last season. And it's great to see because it is opening up things for the offense. You see Brandon Cooks running deep routes and beating cornerbacks down the field, taking the top off of the defense. That's something that Sammy Watkins kind of struggled to do last season. And Goff really didn't have a strong connection with Watkins. There's no question about his chemistry with Cooks. They've hooked up a bunch. I'm really surprised by how well those two have played together. On Thursday night, it wasn't even Cooks' best game of the season, but he had 7 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown. And that wasn't his best performance yet this season. So that kind of just goes to show you how well he's been playing for the Rams so far. But talking about Goff, here's where he ranks in the NFL among all qualified quarterbacks who have thrown enough passes to really rank among the best. He's second in yards, third in completion percentage, second in yards per attempt, second in touchdowns, and he has the highest passer rating in the NFL at 127.3. Patrick Mahomes previously had that highest mark, but with his game on Monday night against the Denver Broncos, his rating dropped a little bit. Not that he had a bad game by any means, but Jared Goff was able to kind of surpass him in that regard. Those two are far and away the highest rated quarterbacks this season at 127.3, and then Mahomes is 126.5. The next closest is Drew Brees at 115. So right now there are 10 quarterbacks with passer ratings over 100, which is kind of obscene and crazy to think about. But just so many good young quarterbacks in the league right now. All are taking care of the football, playing really well. And then you have that outlier in Ryan Fitzpatrick, who had a crazy start to the season before falling back down to earth. But Goff right now, I would say your MVPs are kind of a mix between Goff, Mahomes. I don't know if you'd put Tom Brady up there just yet. He hasn't had that really dominant season. And then Drew Brees is having a strong year, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions. And Matt Ryan's come on huge in the past couple weeks. He has 10 touchdowns and 2 interceptions on the year. Falcons are playing well despite being kind of beat up a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. But Ryan has really come on in the past couple weeks after struggling against the Eagles in week one. I think he has something like 8 touchdown passes, no picks in the past 2 games, with a couple rushing too. So he's really burst onto the scene in the past couple games, and he's up there with Goff and Mahomes as far as MVPs go. Obviously, you have to put someone like Todd Gurley up there as well. Michael Thomas is having a huge season. Not that receivers really ever win MVP, but there are a lot of really good players right now vying for MVP. It's only been 4 games. As much as we want to talk about Goff being an MVP candidate, it's only been 4 games. Still got 12 more to go. But if the Rams keep winning and he keeps putting up big numbers, he's on pace to break Peyton Manning's single season passing yardage record. Granted, there are 3 other quarterbacks who are on pace to do the same thing, but he's putting up huge numbers, 1,406 yards through 4 games. That's 352 a game, which is absolutely asinine and insane. So if he keeps up those numbers, MVPs often come down to guys who are playing on winning teams, and that's all the Rams are doing right now. So he's definitely got a good shot. He's just got to keep taking care of the football and putting up some really strong numbers. But the start to the season has been outstanding, and really no reason to doubt him as an MVP candidate. On the downside, a little bit kind of transitioning away from Jared Goff and going into some injury news. Dominique Easley on Monday, Sean McVay said he underwent surgery on his knee, called it a meniscus injury. He said most likely they're going to place him on IR. So that all but ends his season, which is really unfortunate. I predicted that the Rams would kind of move on from him this offseason during final cuts. That didn't happen. And I was glad to see him get a chance. As badly as I wanted him to succeed, it was just difficult to see that happening after missing all of camp, the preseason. So really an unfortunate injury. You could see if you watched McVay's press conference, he was really almost shaken up by it. Disappointed that he's going to be out again. He called him this poor guy. And really, you could see that he felt really, really bad for Easley, who has only played a handful of games the past 2 seasons after missing all of 2017. So he's most likely going on IR, and considering Aqib Talib, Farrell Cooper, Mike Thomas, they're all on injured reserve. You can only activate two guys to bring back this season. So Talib is someone that they fully expect to have back after those 8 weeks are up. And then I would imagine that Farrell Cooper is in the same boat. You would expect him to be activated too. So there's your two right there, which means Easley is going to remain on IR for the rest of the season, barring any kind of surprising changes on any of those other injuries. So talking about replacements, the Rams don't have a lot of starting caliber edge rushers right now. Easley was one of them. But he wasn't producing or having a great season by any means after transitioning to outside linebacker. But Obo Okoronkwo, the rookie who broke his foot, I think it was in mini camp. It was during one of those offseason practices. He missed all of camp, missed all of preseason, obviously. He's currently on the PUP list, which means he has to miss the first 6 games. But after that, the Rams have 3 weeks to start him practicing and determine whether he's going to remain on IR all season or if he's going to be activated. More than ever, the Rams need him to have a decent rookie season. When he was kept on the PUP list, I wrote about this possibly being a redshirt season for him. Just knowing how difficult it is to have a productive season as a rookie edge rusher. He's undersized. He doesn't have really great athleticism where he can just simply win on speed or power on the outside. It's hard to see him really having a season where he has 5, 6 sacks. But the Rams need him to do that. They need him to have a big season and really produce right after those 6 weeks are up. They have Trevon Young. Sean McVay mentioned him as someone who could who's going to be one of the first guys to get the call up on the 50 on the 46-man roster on game days. He was active on Thursday against the Vikings. Didn't really play much. But then another possibility is Justin Lawler, who McVay once again mentioned as someone who could contribute moving forward for the Rams. The rookie, I don't think he's been active once this season, but the Rams seem to like what he can offer as an edge rusher. He's a long defender with good length, good strength, which he can kind of turn into power. But it's you don't want to rely on any of these late round picks to be starters for you. I would expect Franklin Myers to get some more playing time. Matt Longacre will probably be the starter in place of Dominique Easley, but the rotation behind them is just not very good right now. And it's unfortunate because Easley looked like he could have made the transition to outside linebacker and kind of save some wear on that knee rather than being on the interior. But nonetheless, that's kind of the situation the Rams are facing right now. On the bright side, they could get 3 key players back this week against the Seahawks. On Monday, Sean McVay talked about Mark Barron, Greg Zuerlein, and JoJo Natson as possibly playing on Sunday against Seattle. That game is in Seattle, so they're going to travel up there for their first road game against the Seahawks. Mark Barron was seen practicing on Monday. He also practiced last Wednesday before that Thursday night game on a limited basis. So the Rams are kind of monitoring that as he recovers from that Achilles injury from last season. Greg Zuerlein had a workout on Sunday. Sean McVay said he looked really good. He's making good progress, and he has a chance to play on Sunday against the Seahawks as well. He's not sure what they're going to do with Sam Ficken over the weekend. He didn't commit to him as really their kicker moving forward. So it's possible they'll have both of them on the active roster leading into Sunday's game before making one of them inactive on Sunday. It could go down to the wire with Zuerlein, so that kind of is the reasoning behind that thought process. And then JoJo Natson broke his hand a couple of weeks ago. He had surgery. It was on his left hand, which McVay says is not his dominant hand. So good news there. He could play again. He's another guy who could play on Sunday against the Seahawks, which would bring a nice boost to the return game where the Rams have absolutely been decimated with Farrell Cooper, Mike Thomas going down, and then obviously Natson suffering that injury. So hopefully those guys can go. That'd be a huge boost, and not only just to special teams but to the defense as well. With Mark Barron coming back, kind of joining that rotation with Ramique Wilson, who's played well, Corey Littleton, who has also stepped up in that Mike linebacker role, wearing the green dot on his helmet, making the defensive calls. And Marquis Christian has kind of played that hybrid linebacker defensive back role. So a nice mix of players there once Barron does return. He's solid against the pass. It remains to be seen if he would be that weak side guy or kind of step in as that strong side linebacker in the middle. But regardless of where he plays, just getting him back on the field is going to be huge. So some positive news there. Something that we don't talk about enough, not just as Rams fans, but in the NFL as a whole, is the offensive line play. In Los Angeles, it's arguably the best line in the league right now. Goff was hit twice on Thursday night against the Vikings, which is such a small number, especially against a defense that's so aggressive, in the one that the Vikings do have. He was sacked once by Hunter. It was kind of a bizarre play by Whitworth. He got beat almost immediately off the edge from that left side and didn't really stand a chance getting to Hunter. He was just seemed like he was off by a step. Goff didn't step up in the pocket. He didn't really feel the rush, but that one definitely falls on Whitworth by not getting to Danielle Hunter. But you could say it is the best in the league. Jared Goff hasn't been sacked much. He's only been taken down 5 times, which is arguably, which is, it rivals any other starting quarterback in the league right now, as far as being sacked. Patrick Mahomes has only been taken down 5 times. Same with Philip Rivers. But a handful of those sacks did fall on Goff's shoulders just by not being in the right spot, not feeling the rush, and kind of holding the ball too long. So, the offensive line is just, it's been outstanding. The holes are there for Todd Gurley and Malcolm Brown. No matter who you put back there, they're having success running the ball. Goff is not feeling really any pressure in the pocket. He's talked about how clean his jersey has been after games, things like that. So just really, really strong play from the offensive line, and it doesn't get enough credit. The Rams are playing so well offensively. Todd Gurley gets a lot of credit. Goff obviously does too. The receivers are stepping up and having huge games, but that offensive line, if not for their protection, and if not for the way that they're opening up things in the running game, the offense wouldn't be humming the way that it is. So, give a little bit of credit to the offensive line, the way that they're playing. It's hard to quantify those stats, and as far as sacks allowed and pressures allowed and things like that, but the offensive line is one of the best in the league, if not the best right now. In the NFL. Moving on to the Seahawks game, the Rams are going to travel up to Seattle. It's a 4:25 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff at CenturyLink Field. The Rams have had a lot of success against the Seahawks. Even when they were bad, the Rams have just kind of played them tough every single time. I don't really see this being a game that they lose. I think they're favored by something like 7.5 points, 7 points, which is a high number for a team that's going to be on the road. Earl Thomas, I'm sure everyone saw on Sunday, he broke his leg, flipped off the Seahawks sideline on his way out on the cart. Really, it's kind of a funny thing, but it kind of shows the passion that he has and how unfortunate it is that he didn't get a long-term deal. Went out there, busted his butt for the Seahawks, even though he didn't have a long-term extension. It's just unfortunate to see him go down. He's a future Hall of Famer, and it just sucks to see good players go down. So he's obviously not going to be out there. He's most likely out for the season. But the Seahawks are just not a very good team right now. Wilson is not throwing it deep for some reason. The offense is just, it's not catered to his strengths. It's kind of difficult to explain what they're doing over there. Brian Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator, he's not doing things. He's not putting Russell Wilson in positions to have success. He's one of the best deep ball throwers in the NFL, consistently connecting on passes downfield. He has a deep threat in Tyler Lockett. The offense is not, it's not clicking right now. And that's kind of sad to say, because they have a future Hall of Famer in Russell Wilson leading the offense. He doesn't get great protection from his guys up front. The running backs have been a little bit shaky. It's just the offense is not that good. The defense is a shell of what it used to be. So really, just cohesively as a team, the Rams, they should beat them handedly. If this game was played at the Coliseum, I think they'd be probably 10 to 12 point favorites over the Seahawks. But the fact that it is at CenturyLink, a difficult place to play, it kind of gives the Seahawks a little bit of a cushion. But the offense just has not been good. Chris Carson is the leading rusher at 177 yards. By comparison, Todd Gurley, he has 338 yards, and Malcolm Brown has 93 yards, which is half of what Chris Carson has on half of the attempts. So just it's not a good situation right now for Russell Wilson. He's kind of left to do it all. The defense needs to be better. No Richard Sherman, no Michael Bennett, no Cliff Averill, no Cam Chancellor, no Earl Thomas. The only guys really that are left are Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright, who was injured to start the season. So just this is a game that the Rams have to win, and they should win it. I don't see any way that they lose it. It's if they do, it's going to come down to coaching or just bad turnovers by Jared Goff in the red zone or not converting on third down, but definitely a winnable game. So expect the Rams to move to 5-0. I'd be surprised if they didn't, even without Aqib Talib, Dominique Easley, a couple players injured. And if they do get Greg Zuerlein, that's an even greater advantage for the Rams heading into this one. So again, that's a 4:25 kickoff at CenturyLink Field. The Rams are favored by a touchdown and a half, so 7.5 points. So that's a very winnable game, and fully expect them to go to 5-0. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Rams Wire podcast. We'll talk to you guys next week. As always, follow us on Twitter at the Rams Wire. You can follow me at Cam DeSilva, and be sure to stay locked in to the ramswire.usatoday.com.